Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. Well, let's get ready to receive the word. I know we've already been in very much in the Lord's presence, but I really want to get this in us today. Come on, let's pray. Father, your word is anointed. It can't do anything but bear if the seed gets in there and takes root. So, Lord, we just pray for good soil this morning. I love you, Holy Spirit, and I thank you've already saturated the ground. And we just pray now that not one seed would get choked out by the world or robbed by the devil. Let it bring forth in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so I've entitled this message this morning, Breakthrough Power. And for those of you who've been tracking with us for the last few weeks, I decided to go back to a series called Built for Battle, just because of the level of unusual warfare that everyone was going through. Just by show of hands, how many of you feel like you're starting to get a little bit of a reprieve right now, like a little bit of a break? Okay, that's good. That's really good. Okay. When I first released the word, every hand went up. And so now we're talking about three quarters down, which is good. Amen? Aren't you glad? The word works. The word works. And our weapons work. And so that means you've been employing your weapons and maybe revisiting some things and getting your boots on and your armor on and fighting. And that's what we got to do. We fight the good fight of faith. And there are seasons when we've just come out of a storm and we feel that Selah, we feel that that sort of relief season. And then there's another one you'll go through because they're cyclical and they come. But we got to know how to battle in the spirit and win. And, well, we have the victory. We're not fighting for it. We're fighting from it. But it's about maintaining victory even in the middle of the storms. And so many people who are young in the faith, they don't know how to do that yet. So all you elders that have learned how to put on your armor and learned how to prepare a battle seat and learned how to pull out your sword of the Spirit and what all those things are, encourage those who are going through trials and pray with them and remind them that they are a victor and not a victim. Amen. So this morning I'm not going to do a long review, but I just mentioned some of your main weapons in battle, which number one is the word of God. We saw Jesus use this as his weapon of choice. Here we are with Jesus, the word of God in the flesh, used the word of God against the enemy and systematically shut him down. So Jesus was also doing something else, which I'm going to touch on today, before he released the word, which I believe the body of Christ doesn't use as often as it should, and that is fasting. So we have a faith wrap battle seed, which I've taught on because seeds break cycles. We find a scripture, which is the word of God. That's a weapon too, right? Number one weapon. We find a scripture that identifies and matches our problem, and then we'll sow a seed of faith on that particular word. It's good to pray the word. It's good to sow the word. And now you're building a bomb, what I call a nuclear bomb, against the enemy. And then we put on the armor of God. That should be something we just do every day. And, for me, I used to go through every piece. It's important to know what all the pieces are. But sometimes I just go, Lord, I just pray the armor on today because I know what I have, from the helmet to the belt to the breastplate to the sword to the shield of faith and the shoes of peace. And so I know that I've got it all on. And I'm aware of that. I'm cognizant of what it is that I'm in need of. If it's chaos, I need to be walking in peace, right? If it's lies, I need to be accessing my belt of truth. So I pray that on. And then we know that we have authority. And this was the message last week. Jesus said, behold, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning, and I have given you authority to trample on all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm you, right? So I've given you authority. He said, all authority in heaven, on earth, and below the earth in the demonic realm has been given to me, and now I give it to you. Amen. Amen. So that is discipleship 101. I really believe we need to know our identity in Christ. We need to know that we're saved. Amen. that we're secure, but we also need to know that we have authority, that we're in a war. So my babies, they come in and I'm like, welcome to the kingdom of God. Let's get you armored up. Let's teach you who you are and teach you that you have authority and you have weapons, okay? And teach you how to use them without spooking them too bad. But like, I just think it's reckless to leave a newborn ill-equipped, right? Even if they don't know how to use them. I remember when I first started the church, I was like, okay, you're saved. Let's get you into a Bible class. Now we're going to teach you about the 17 strong men. Boy, we were naming them demons and pulling down those principalities, and some of their eyes were this big. Like, I didn't know I signed up for this, right? But we need to teach them they have an adversary, and that he is busy. He's always roaming around. The Bible says, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And we don't want to have a devil focus. We want to have a Jesus focus, right? We don't always want to be the devil this, the devil that. I say, don't give him as much credit as he's trying to get out of your life. We need to know he's there. We need to know who we're fighting against. But we also need to know that Jesus has already died and defeated him, right? He disarmed him at the cross and made a public spectacle of him. So he's already been named as an eternal loser. But he's going to try. As long as we're on this earth, he has some authority and some power. But the authority of Jesus trumps his. Amen? And you have that. And so you can release the blood of Jesus, which defeated him. Amen. I think every newborn baby needs to say, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood. That's right. Right? I plead the blood. And so we do. We need to know that we are covered by the blood. We're protected by the blood. But the blood of Jesus is also a weapon in our arsenal. And anytime we say, I've been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and my testimony is that I am a blood-bought, Holy Ghost-filled son or daughter of the Most High God, they know who you are. And the Bible says they tremble. I kind of like that. Yeah? Love it. So now we come to this next very powerful weapon. And I just want to talk about fasting today, because Jesus was fasting for 40 days before the enemy showed up. So when I say the word of God was his weapon of choice, it was the audible weapon of choice when the enemy showed up. But he prepared himself through fasting for that showdown. Amen? Because what happens when you fast is your carnal side is reduced. It is minimized. It is put down. It is subdued. And your spiritual man goes up. And it's a very difficult thing at first, but I believe every believer should live a fasted lifestyle, and you need to start somewhere, even if that's a 24-hour fast, okay? So number one, praying in faith, sowing in faith, and fasting in faith creates a holy nightmare for the devil. He doesn't stand a chance in getting his way in your life or the life of those you're praying for when you're simultaneously doing these three things. This is like what I call the trifecta, okay? He loses his grip and is driven out by the spiritual force, the power that you've gained through denying your flesh. Just by a show of hands, how many of you have ever seen a situation in your life and you decided, I ain't playing, and you went on a three-day water fast, and everything broke? Come on, I want to see your hands. You guys should look around this room. There were things that were going on in my family's life, and I was declaring, I was praying, and finally I was just like, okay. You're leaving. You're done. And I can remember one particular instance where I came down here and I slept in my office for 2 days because there's no fridge in here. My husband thought I was like, he's like, where'd she go? I said, leave me alone. I brought a sleeping bag down here and I slept in my office. And on day three, boom. The stuff that was hidden that needed to be seen, the stuff that I needed to show up, showed up. And I'm like, woo! Sorry if that hurts your ears. But sometimes you've got to just go there, right? Let's talk about fasting for just a minute, what it is. The definition of biblical fasting is deliberate abstinence from physical gratification for a select period to achieve a greater spiritual goal. It is renouncing the natural to invoke the supernatural. Okay? There are benefits or natural benefits of fasting. We're going to look at some text here in a minute. Number one, when you fast, your brain goes into survival mode, leading to an increased ability to focus on the task at hand. And it's like, if I could encourage you, you know, our bodies start having hunger pains and crying. Some people get hangry. How many of you get hangry? Yeah, it's you're not just hungry people, you're hangry people. Did you know that 3 minutes is the duration, the strongest duration of that? And if you can last for 3 minutes through that pulling and that craving, that aching, it will subside. And then that happens less and less frequently. You get out about 10 hours, those of you who fast know this, you get out about 10 hours and the hunger pains go away. But so many people can't deny their flesh for 3 minutes. And there's no shame or blame, but I'm telling you, it can be done. If you will say, Lord, I'm doing this for a greater purpose, and you put your body under subjection, even if you time it 90 seconds, watch. After 90 seconds, it'll go, and then it'll be further and further apart. And so we have to get to the point, family, where we exercise the power of self-control, which is given to us by the Holy Spirit, over our flesh. There are battles ahead that your flesh needs to be subdued for. And if you'll start with a 24-hour fast, you can start to build that out. Now, I've only known one other person that did it 40, and besides Jesus, and it was hard to watch, but you've got to listen to the Holy Spirit. The second thing that fasting does is it causes a reduction in oxidative stress, reduced insulin resistance and blood sugar levels and inflammation, all of which are good for the brain. It helps you lose weight, improves your health, and live longer. That's good, right? Intermittent fasting can have many benefits for your body and brain. It reduces your risk of type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and cancer. I love it. There, you know, Jesus, he required them to fast. Gives their gut a rest. There's all these health benefits. I'm going to get to the spiritual ones in a moment. Number four, there are fewer meals you need to prepare, cook, and clean up after, and it reduces your grocery budget and frees up time and money. That was mine. So save you money. It's a lot. I mean, the time involved in preparing food and eating food and cleaning up after food and, you know, going to the grocery store and buying food and, oh my gosh, so much of our life, you know, evolves around. And God knows we need food, right? But there's just a perk for you. All right. Here are the spiritual benefits of fasting. Fasting causes us to renew our desire and hunger for God and reminds us that we are ultimately dependent upon God. Natural power, flesh, cannot win against demonic power. I know this. I'm gonna quit doing that. I'm gonna give that up. I told my dad when I was first coming off of drugs, I said, oh, I am never gonna do that again. And he pointed his finger at me, his little bony preacher finger at me, and he said, daughter, don't ever say, I'm not gonna. You need to say, with Christ, I can do all things. And because of his grace and with his help, I will not do this again. Because you cannot do anything apart from him. And he said, when you submit your flesh to him and say, Jesus, I'm desperate. I'm hungry. I'm addicted. I'm craving. And you change that, not I am an addict, but I'm dealing with addiction. You change that. Those declarations say, I'm experiencing these things in my flesh, but with you, I'm free, right? With you, I'm free from this thing that's held me bondage for so long, right? And there's a dependency on the Lord, there's an absolute desperation on the Lord when you're fasting that you must engage in. And so that's what happens is your flesh becomes subdued, your spiritual power starts to increase. Number two, Jesus showed us by example that prayer and fasting are the first and most effective weapons against the forces of evil. Before his public ministry, the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. That was the Lord's doing. Huh? And a lot of people would be like, "Where are you, Lord? I'm fighting the devil." And the Lord says, "I'm here with you, and I led you here, and I'm getting you powered up because I want you to win this victory. Because what you cannot win in private will always manifest in public. And rather than having a public mess, let's get you to win the battle in private, and then God's going to give you a bigger and bigger and bigger public platform, and it will build character in those small increments to where you get out there, you already know how to fight, you've already won that battle, you're going to be able to stand out there in the character and the likeness of Christ and do a better job than you would have ever done trying to win out there in public. Amen? So, Jesus had to subdue his flesh before the demonic confrontation, and so do we, because he's our Lord. He set precedence for everything that we go through by doing it first. He looked weak. I mean, that would have been hard to see, our Lord, in that state. 40 days later, he was hungry, he was thirsty, he was probably very weak and emaciated looking, but never in his physical life was he stronger than in that moment. Jesus was totally dependent on the Word. He was the Word in a flesh suit. Fasted up with the Word. I wonder what we could do as the body of Christ if we would start to take this serious. And not let somebody else fast for us. I love fasting for other people. I love praying because I know I'm going to get some results. But when I learned this, I said, I'm going to set aside some time to fast each week. And I do. And not that I have it perfected, but I've overcome a lot. And I attribute it to this. Jesus was dependent on the Word and won the battle because his flesh didn't hunger for the world. Yeah? The more you subdue your flesh with the Word, the less the world will have a hold on you. And there are many people battling what the world offers. And here's a key. And it's hard. No one can do it for you. You've got to do it. So after this showdown, number three, after this showdown and victory over the devil, Jesus came out of the wilderness and taught his disciples that some demons cannot be driven out by prayer alone. They have to have the combo of prayer and fasting. Now let's look at this text. In Mark 9, 17 through 29, it says, "Then one of the crowd answered and said, 'Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit.'" Now I just want to pause right there because when I was in Guyana and Pastor Simone was with me on this trip, we had ministered and I was tired. It was pouring down rain. If you've ever been into the jungle, you know, this, there's nothing comfortable about the atmosphere or what you're doing there. And we had so many demon manifestations in this service that I was absolutely exhausted. And I was sharing this story with Rod, and I wanted to just go. It was late. We had those minor lights that you stick on your forehead to try to get down the hill, and my flip-flops were melting off my feet from bug spray. And it wasn't pretty. Simone's laughing. We were sweaty. I've been fighting devils all during this service. I mean, you show up to preach. You're an American pastor, and you think, okay, we're just going to deliver our nice, neat little word. And, you know, I get up there to start preaching, and the anointing hits, and people start manifesting all over the place. So, you know, thank God we don't see a lot of that in America. But when you get in a country where they actually conjure demons and put them on their babies in their mother's womb, and they're having all these conferences to, you know, black magic and wizards and warlocks and all this stuff, and they come to your church services, you just really need to be fasted up and prayed up, right? So we get ready to leave, and they brought this little girl to me. Her eyes are crusted over, and she's trembling, and she's just very, you know, demonically oppressed. I could see that. I didn't sense that she was possessed, but she was just oppressed, and I could tell. So My prayer team is just, they've been going, and they're very aggressive at this point, just praying really loud, and, you know, and I was tired, and I just said, shh. It was so dramatic, you know, I'm like, just stop. And I just very quietly told the Spirit, look, I'm tired, and you're not going to wear me out. You're leaving. Leave this child alone. And all of a sudden, her eyes start to come apart. And I ask her name. Tears are running down her face. It was really gross. And she said her name. And her parents drop on the ground. Just bawling. She had had a mute spirit for years and hadn't spoke. It was the first time they'd heard her voice since she was a little girl. I'm telling you, people, this stuff is still going on today. There are spirits that have people so oppressed that it's holding them back from their destiny. Maybe it won't be necessarily a mute spirit, but I believe these spirits are trying to lock up the mouth right now of the church, trying to shut down the mouth of the church. When we have laws being passed where the church can't even stand up and speak the truth anymore, something's wrong. Something is terribly wrong. And I really believe that if the church will get a hold of their weapons and really come back to the altar of prayer and say, look, I may have never tried this, but I'm going to try it. There are family members being held in the chains of addiction and alcoholism and perversion and all kinds of heart things that I believe we have the power to break off of their life if we will come back and start doing the things that the Lord has given us to do. We will see these kinds of results. So they bring this child, has a mute spirit. In verse 18, it says, and whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. Now, you guys got to understand, Jesus had already given them power and authority. But now they run into a demonic spirit that they can't get out. And Jesus answers him and says, oh, faithless generation. So the first thing he talks about is their faith. Faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? In other words, I don't want to be the one doing this all the time. How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, let's look at the H's. When he, lowercase he, saw him, God, Jesus, you see that? Immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. If that was my child, I'd be having a fit. This has been going on a long time. How many of you have had children that you've seen struggling, maybe not to this degree, but you've seen it for a very long time? You know, you get desperate when it's your own kids. I look forward to the day when people can bring a child to me because I've had it happen. Oh, I feel the anointing. And that thing looks at me. It wasn't the little boy. It was the spirit. Yeah? It saw Jesus. And it has encountered people with authority, with no power, so much that he does this in front of Jesus. Boom. And Jesus said, if you can, but no, the Father says, Jesus asked the Father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus flips the script. And he says, they're asking Jesus, if you can do it. And Jesus comes back to them and says, if you can believe. He puts the ball right back in their court. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So he's just like, I'll do it. I've taken him to everyone else, but if that's what I need to do, I'll believe, right? And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, he is dead. I've seen this. Don't ever make fun of someone who falls out under the power of God, because it will look foolish to your natural mind. Okay? I grew up in charismania, people power tripping and pushing people down, and people got hurt. When the Spirit of God puts somebody down, they may look dead for a minute, but they're not going to look hurt. They're going to get up well. Okay? So let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Sometimes things happen under the anointing that look completely strange to our natural mind. But here he is laying there looking dead, and Jesus lifts him up by the hand, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, hey, Jesus, why could we not cast it out? And so he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but, and then he gives the combo, prayer and fasting. You'll get to a point where you're done. You've seen enough. You've heard enough. You've put up with enough. You've prayed enough. You've stood in enough prayer lines. You've given enough offerings. You've gone to enough church services. You've read enough Bible verses. You've declared and you've blabbed it and you've grabbed it and you've claimed it and you've said it until you're blue in the face and your eyes are about to fall out of your head and you don't know what else to do. You've been on prayer lines and hotlines and every kind of line there is out there. You've been in every kind of line. You've been to Benny Hinn's line. You've been to conferences. You paid to get in the room. And I'm telling you, there will come a point in your life when you are going to have to do this for yourself. Because the devil's, if he can't get to you, he's going to come to your spouse. If he can't get your spouse, he's going to try to get your kids. If he can't get your kids, he's going to try to get your job. If he can't get your job, he's going to try to get your business. If he can't get your business, he's going to come every way he can. For every person I know in this room that has done it the way that God says to do it, for the reason God says to do it, you have gotten results. Can I get an amen in here? If you've ever done that, I want you to clap right now. If you've ever, okay, all right. So Jesus showed that our faith in proportion to prayer and fasting is a complete, like, victory weaponized thing against the enemy, right? There's no demonic attack or manifestation that we can't take out if we're powered up. Now, as I start to land this, can you guys pull up Isaiah 58 in the message for me? I didn't throw it in my notes. Stay with me for a few minutes. Fasting sets us free from oppression and demonic yokes, chains of bondage. Now, I don't want to go too much further in these notes. I just wanted to throw in there that Ahab, even an ungodly king, got results with fasting in the Old Testament. An entire nation, Nineveh, or city Nineveh, was freed from destruction through fasting. And the entire nation of Israel was freed through Esther's fasting and prayer. So in every instance where there was just, it was a life or death situation and someone decided to fast and really set their heart to seek God. Not doing this out of routine and out of ritual and just hoping that some things would happen. Some people fast just to act spiritual and get brownie points, I don't know, bonus points. You gotta do it for the right reason, okay? And in Isaiah 58, can you guys pull up, like, let's start at, like, verse 9, maybe, in the message. Let me get over here. I want to show you something. Because it's about the heart with which you do everything. That's 2 Samuel. All right. So what had happened is the Lord had implemented fasting for his people to keep them in a perpetual cycle of victory. Health and victory. Somebody say health and victory. And he had implemented this as a key in the Old Testament, because you got to understand, they're doing temple sacrifices. The blood and all of the cleansing rituals and everything else was being done, and he gives them this tool of fasting, right? But what had happened is they had become very ritualistic in it, and instead of seeking God on the days that they were fasting, they were still running their businesses, and they were driving their employees really hard, and they were swinging a mean fist. Their heart wasn't humble. They had become very pious in their routine. So they would walk around like, well, today I'm fasting. You know, putting on a show. So they paraded around in black, and they acted all solemn, and they acted all humble, but they were ripping people off. They were engaging in acts of injustice and all of this stuff. And so the Lord comes to them, and they're upset too. They're telling him, well, we've been fasting. Why isn't anything happening? I can't tell you how many times I've heard somebody say that. Well, I fasted, so you didn't eat, but you were a real turd to everybody all week. You're not eating, but you're exploiting your workers. You don't really shut yourself in, and you could go to work, but you know what I'm saying? You just have that, I'm with God, and I'm doing something, so you keep your mouth shut about it. The Lord said, just wash your face. Get up, ladies, put your makeup on, no greasy bun, no holy Lululemons. Listen, get cleaned up. Go about your business, but keep your heart engaged with the Lord. So, you know, don't even talk about what you're doing. You don't have to parade all your spiritual disciplines around. This is between you and the Lord, right? And so in verse 6 through 9, I think that's the reference in the message. Jesus says through the prophet, this is the kind of fast day I'm after. To break the chains of injustice, to get rid of exploitation in the workplace, to free the oppressed, and to cancel debts. He said, what I'm interested in seeing you do is share your food with the hungry, inviting the homeless poor into your homes. And so, you know, there was a lot of homeless people around the synagogues, and the people weren't even concerned about them, but they're walking around and, you know, acting all hoity-toity. Put clothes on the shivering, ill-clad, being available to your own families. There it is. You know how many people just have a religious, like, persona, but they're emotionally unavailable to their families. Their kids don't even have a connection with them. They can be in the room, but they're not even present. This is about a heart change. This is about allowing the Lord to do something in your heart that changes everything, from the way you do business, to the way you do family, to the way you do others. Amen? Because when you really start to connect your heart to the Lord and you deny your flesh, you'll get a spiritual power surge that will change the heart, and everything in your life will start to feel the effect of what happened during that time of denial. Amen? This is what our cities need. This is what we need to have happen. And he said, do this, watch this, do this, and the lights will turn on, and your lives will turn around at once. Your righteousness will pave your way. The glory, the God of glory will secure your passage. Then when you pray, God will answer. You'll call out for help, and I'll say, here I am. And then I love this part. It says, the subtitle is A Full Life in the Emptiest Places. God, I want to preach right here. And you're looking at me like, Pastor Vernon, we got a barbecue and a baptism. One day I'm going to preach a sermon on subtitles. Amen. I always say, pay attention to the subtitles.
You guys have watched me come in here where other people would be bankrupt. They'd have nothing to say, nothing to give, nothing. But I showed up full in the empty places, in the dark places, in the dark night of the soul, where other people would be so void of anything for the Lord. And I didn't come in here for anybody to fill me up, because I was doing this when my heart was crushed and my mind was going like this. And I'm like, oh, I know what to do. You give me a word, I'm putting away the food. I'm going to get on my face and I'm going to pray until I come up with something to feed someone else, because God, you said I would be full in the empty places. Amen? And this is his promise. He said, if you get rid of the unfair practices, quit blaming victims and quit gossiping about other people's sins. Boy, you see your own when you're doing this. I tell myself, oh, Verna, don't judge. Mm-mm, girl. He says, if you're generous with the hungry and start giving yourselves to the down and out, your lives will begin to glow in the dark. I love that. Your shadowed lives will be bathed in sunlight. I will always show you where to go. In other words, you're never going to be without direction. I'll give you a full life in the emptiest of places. Firm muscles, strong bones. Come on. You'll be like a well-watered garden, a gurgling spring that never runs dry. You'll use the old rubble of past lives to build anew. Woo! These are promises, folks. You'll rebuild the foundations from out of your past. In other words, everything that happened in your past will become a foundation that's going to help build other people's lives. That's why I'm not ashamed of the testimony that God brought out of the waste places of my life. And I don't care who knows, I am not that girl anymore. God has helped me rebuild, and he's helping me rebuild other people's lives out of the rubble of the past. Glory be to God. You can clap for that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You will restore old ruins. You will rebuild and renovate, and you will make the community livable again. That's a lot, folks. That's a lot. A full life in the emptiest of places. A life that was an absolute wasteland, shambles. And you come in and you're broken and you don't know what to do. I'm telling you what to do. Pull some things off of your flesh. And stop saying that thing has power over me. If you got to take everything out of the fridge and put it at someone else's house for a couple days. If you got to get rid of that thing and let your body scream, give it to me, give it to me. And you say, no, Lord Jesus, Holy Ghost, hold me down. I will not be subdued by anything external. The only thing that will have power over my life that can subdue me until the day I see you face to face is your spirit, is your person. And if I've got to ache, and if I've got to cry, and if I've got to say, God, help me, until it subdues and it passes, I'm telling you, it is how the chains broke in my life. It is how I stopped drinking. It is how I stopped putting drugs in my body. It is how I stopped going for food when I didn't need it. It was how I overcame bulimia. It is how I overcame every demonic stronghold. It is how everything in my life left me until Jesus set me free. And it works. It works. Stand to your feet. Father, I thank you. All I can do is encourage you. But I stand here today as a put back together testimony of a girl that without God's power would not be alive today. And he made me as good as new. Hallelujah! Hallelujah to you, Jesus. Hallelujah to your name. Hallelujah to your name. I thank God for fasting parents. I thank God for parents that said, oh, hell no. Hell no. Heaven yes and hell no. We are gonna pray and we are gonna fast until every demonic attachment, every spider web, everything, every cord has been wiped away from her life. And once she comes to her senses, we're gonna help her pray herself through. And we're gonna get her back in there and teach her how to pick up her sword and how to get her shield of faith and how to open her mouth and begin to pray for herself. Because what we see is that she is gonna become a deliverer, and she is gonna lead an army of other people that know how to get free too. Hallelujah. This subject to me is one of the most precious and powerful subjects in my life, aside from the Holy Spirit and His presence. Salvation. And I'm not just talking about fasting. I'm talking about deliverance. It is on my life because the ones that have fought the hardest become the fiercest. Once they get free and they understand the power that they have, they become the fiercest, and the enemy knows it, and he fights the hardest for him. I'm gonna open this altar up. If you right now say, Lord, I need a fresh equipping. Come on, start moving. I need a fresh equipping. Lord, I need power in this hour. I need it, Lord. I need breakthrough power. I'm coming out and I'm bringing people with me. I'm taking no prisoners. Start to move. Thank you, Father. Come on, prayer leaders, get around him. Get around him. Start to move. Make room. Make room. Make room. Come on in. Even those watching online right now, I have felt the anointing since I started talking. I know that right now the enemy has been lying to so many of your family members. Come on, gather in. Prayer team, I need you. Get around them right now. Get around them. Everything's shifting right now. Everything is shifting. What you thought you could never get free from, I prophesy in Jesus' name that today it ceases. Today it ends. Today it ends. Come on, put your hand on somebody. It ends. It ends. It ends today. It ends. Jesus, we thank you that even right now, people are declaring, Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to be the Lord of my life. Teach me, Lord. Empower me to be able to deny my flesh. Show me, Lord, what I need to set down. And then empower me to walk away from it, to give it away, to give it up. Break, break. I command a breaking right now in Jesus' name. By faith, every demonic cord, every demonic spirit that has been tormenting these loved ones, I command you to flee in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that we are going to see sons and daughters like myself coming home, walking into their destiny, coming back to the altar, coming back into the fold, coming back into the house of the Lord. I speak over destinies that the enemy thought that he had locked up, and I declare in Jesus' name, they will prophesy, they will pray, they will preach, they will do what you called them to do. I speak freedom. This is our year of freedom. Freedom for every individual listening. Freedom. Receive that. Some of you will be listening to this by podcast. I just want you to lift your hands to heaven right where you are right now and say, I receive my freedom. I receive my freedom. I am free. I am free. Come on, declare it. I am free. I am free in Jesus' name. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. Indeed, indeed, indeed. Come on, give him praise. I am free. I want you to say that. I am free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. This is my day. It's my day. It's my year. It's my time. I'm free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Love somebody. Pray with somebody.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. It is because of you that this ministry is made possible. We also want to give a special thanks to those who give so generously to this ministry. If you are interested in partnering with us, click the link below in the description to give now or visit our website at soulharvestwc.org. Make sure to follow us by tapping the plus sign in the top right corner of your screen. If today's message spoke to you, please share this episode with your friends and family by clicking the share button. And don't forget to tag us on your social media at Soul Harvest WC. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.